BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. I'm in four ways today to chat to Justin Mayer, Vice President for Sub-Saharan Africa at HMD Global and Head of Product for the same region, Patrick Henshi. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Duncan.
Thanks for having us.
Now, of course, HMD Global is the company that has the now has the license to produce smartphones bearing a very famous name, Nokia. We're going to talk phones today, including that iconic newly launched 3310. But before we get to that, Justin, maybe I could ask you to kick the discussion off. How did all of this come about? Who exactly is HMD Global, and how did you get the rights to use the Nokia name?
HMD Global, we are a Finnish startup company. And Duncan, we were literally birthed on the 1st of December 2016. So our journey is still very young, 8 months, not even 8 months or just on 8 months. And it's been a fantastic 8 months. A lot of planning that's gone into it, and so much has happened in the last couple of months. And we really say we are the home of Nokia phones. That's who HMD Global is. We are working on this partnership model. Obviously, our major partners would be Nokia themselves. We have an exclusive license, as you've mentioned. Then we have Google and their Android operating system. And our third partner is FIH or Foxconn, the largest electronics manufacturer.
Okay, but you're a startup, but you've got strong ties to the old Nokia. You're in a building in Espoo in Finland, right across the road from Nokia, if not even on the same campus as Nokia. Yeah. You've been funded by a private equity fund headed by a former senior executive of Nokia, Jean-François Baril. Yeah. So there's very deep ties here to the old Nokia, and I presume a lot of your employees or ex-Nokia employees as well. So is there a lot of the old Nokia culture inside HMD Global?
I think we as HMD, we have our own culture. But obviously the Nokia culture comes through very strongly. Mm. And those associations and those ties, we are very proud that Nokia have chosen us to represent their brand when it comes to phones. So yes, we are very closely aligned to them on their campus. Our building is on their campus, literally, and we have a lot of collaboration with them. We are not the brand owners. Nokia are still the brand owners, and hence that close alignment and collaboration that we have with them.
Okay, so this exclusive license, I believe, runs for until 2024, is that right?
That was a 10-year agreement.
Yeah. Okay. So it brings the Nokia name back into the market. But these are not the Nokia phones, or certainly some of the bulk of the smartphones you've released now are not the Nokia phones we knew in the past. Certainly over in recent years, we've known Nokia to be running Windows Phone, Microsoft software, and before that running Nokia's own software, the Symbian operating system as well. So quite a shift to Android here. How does that change the mix? How does it change Nokia, how Nokia is perceived in the market? The whole market is running Android except for Apple now, I guess. Does it make you just another player in the Android ecosystem, or is there some cachet to the Nokia name that makes it special and will allow it to build a significant presence for itself in the market.
Yeah, I think as you said, Nokia as a brand is still, it's unbelievable how well loved the brand is. And we've really been taken aback by that. You know, since we made our first announcement in January this year that we'll be launching our very first Nokia smartphone running Android in China, the welcome that we've received has been amazing. And every market we go into, it's just been phenomenal. We were just recently in Nigeria and Kenya where we launched the devices. And again, just the love for this brand that people have for it and what they are reminded, it's just an unbelievable starting point for us. So yes, major love for the brand. But with that, we have now gone to what our fans have probably been asking for and hoping for quite some time. They've been saying, how about a Nokia with Android partnership? And that's what I think we have finally come out with. And people are, you know, they're really excited about that. They've seen the qualities of Nokia in the past, of the trusted brand, the quality, the reliability, the simplicity, just the human brand that Nokia is. And coupled that with an Android operating system is just, for them, it's music to their ears. But I think what's really special is it's not just an Android operating system. Yes, we know how competitive this environment is. But we have chosen to go with what Google have designed Android for, and that's this pure Android operating system that we will be bringing to our consumers through our devices. So I think when you see the devices, you immediately know, when you touch and feel them, you know they are a Nokia, that Nokia quality of the device. And then when you turn it on and you see a very familiar operating system, and probably an operating system that people are really looking for, this vanilla Android, you know, people's first answer or response is wow when they put it in their hands, and that's great.
Well, I want to come back and talk about Android specifically a bit later, because it's a unique selling point of these phones. But let's talk about the South African market specifically. I mean, I've been using mobile phones since 1994 when the operators first launched. And I think my first phone was a Siemens phone. But after that, it was a Nokia, and then another Nokia, and then another Nokia, and then another Nokia, and then another Nokia. Until I think around 2011 or so, where smartphones really started to take off and I moved to Android. So I personally still have an affinity for the brand. Some of those devices frustrated me no end, but some of them I absolutely loved. And I've still got many of them sitting in a drawer at home somewhere. So you've obviously done research in the South African market. You've got views on what consumers' views of Nokia are now. And we know for a fact that there's still an affinity towards the brand amongst consumers. Nokia was once extremely powerful in the cell phone market in South Africa. It was the number one player by quite a wide margin, I think, for a long time. How does that affinity amongst consumers for the brand translate for you into sales going forward? Are you able to look at building up the Nokia brand in South Africa again to its former glory? Or are you going to be a fairly niche player in the broader Android ecosystem?
Yeah, so it's amazing to see and hear how many people still have that Nokia in their drawer. Mm. And what's probably more surprising is that, you know, 5-10 years ago, they can still pull out the drawer and the device still works. Yeah. I mean, you know, people...
And it still has a week's battery life.
And, you know, we as Nokia phones... It hasn't really disappeared from consumers here in South Africa. Nokia has still been alive through the devices like the 105. So,
right.
So feature phones have continued. So it has been a brand that has been beating, especially in the feature phones.
Mm.
On the smartphones, yes, we have a lot of work still to do. And we know that there's a lot of fans out there, but we also know that we have to reconnect and connect with new consumers and new fans, and expose them to what Nokia as a brand is, with the experiences that they you know, can have on the new devices that we have. A really interesting stat in January when we launched in China, you know, within the first couple of days of announcing, we announced with one partner, JD.com, and I think there were 1.3 million pre-registrations for that device on their website. The first three shipments were sold out within seconds, if not minutes, So it was really amazing. And we always knew that there were these fans who would love a Nokia smartphone running Android. And when JD.com gave us more feedback as to who was purchasing these devices, the amazing stat was 67% of those devices that were purchased by consumers who had never owned a Nokia phone before. And that was really promising for us, because here was a target market that we knew we needed to connect with, and they were so eager and excited to go out and purchase a device that they hadn't had any affinity with. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, really exciting for us globally and in South Africa. So yes, there's this great fan base that we will, you know, reconnect with. But then there's this new consumer that we will have to connect with and really prove ourselves to them.
Let's talk a bit about the feature phones. They never really disappeared from the market. Microsoft bought Nokia. They bought the feature phone portfolio as well. Microsoft continued to supply the market with those feature phone devices, like the 105, for example.
Correct.
So in that segment, the name has never disappeared.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've introduced a new feature phone called the 3310.
Yeah.
It's loosely modeled on the...
We call it a reboot.
A reboot, okay.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice-looking phone, I must say. I think reviews of it have been a bit mixed, but I think it was a very clever marketing strategy to introduce this thing in the market, because it got everyone talking about the brand again, right?
It certainly did. And one of the key research we did, we actually asked customers on, you know, various Facebook pages or through various forms of media, what was your favorite Nokia phone?
Mm.
And the overwhelming response that came back was the 3310. And that was, you know, one of the driving factors behind rebooting the device.
How long has it been in the market now? In South Africa?
Probably
4 weeks.
A little longer, maybe 6 weeks or so.
Okay. And how's it doing? What's the consumer reaction to it?
In South Africa and globally, phenomenal. It's so sought after. You know, stock is coming in and it's literally shipping out, and consumers are loving it. In fact, you know, some retail stores and some all over the world. Mm. It's amazing to find out that there's actually a pre-registration online that you can go and pre-register or pre-order your 3310. I mean, we've never seen that for a feature phone before.
Yeah.
It's a premium high-end smartphone that you sort of do that.
Yes.
So there's just, it's amazing to see. We were in Barcelona, Patrick and myself, when we announced the device. And Patrick was actually manning the stand there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing to see how many people were so excited about this device, how it stole the show, this little beautiful feature phone at this.
Which retails for how much?
It retails for $699 here in South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose in a world where smartphones all look the same, this device stands out. All smartphones now are black slabs, basically. And this comes in bright colors. It's got a traditional keyboard. Looks quite funky. It reminds me a little bit of the original iMac, actually, from Apple, in its design styling. So I suppose that's the reason. And of course, nostalgia plays a huge role.
What I found so interesting in Barcelona was the amount of people, you know, and even now when, you know, you're showing people the device, the amount of people who pick the device up and they immediately just get the smile on their face. You know, it just brings back some sort of memories, or brings back when life was potentially simpler.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people actually then, so many people take it to their heart and hold it onto their heart and like just... I remember this, and I remember my phone. And then they switch the phone on. They're like, wow, color screen. Oh, wow, I can play Snake. And essentially, it is a feature phone.
Yeah.
We're not trying to say it's more than it is or anything. It's a great-looking feature phone with great battery life, and you can play Snake. Make phone calls, send SMS.
Does it support WhatsApp?
Does not support WhatsApp.
Okay.
It does do Facebook Messenger.
Oh, right. Interesting. Okay. What operating system does it run?
It's running S30 Plus.
S30 Plus, which is a feature phone operating system.
Yeah, okay. Originally developed by Nokia?
It it's come down the line. It's had sort of various iterations. We had S30 and then it's moved on to S30 Plus.
Okay.
And the amazing thing, Duncan, is that people say, well, who's the device really for?
And yeah, that was my next question, actually. who is buying it?
And it's amazing to see who actually is buying it, because there's not one specific segment of consumer who's purchasing it. Mm. So you're having these people purchasing it because it makes a fantastic statement. And as you said, it's a great looking device. It makes a statement. It's globally, feature phone business is still 500 million feature phones sold, phones are sold globally. I mean, there's a huge market for feature phones still. And Nokia is, you know, very well liked amongst the higher price points of the feature phone. So there's still those consumers out there who want a feature phone. It's amazing. There's some consumers who don't want a smartphone.
Are they buying it as a primary phone, or are they buying it as a phone that they use in addition to a smartphone?
The feature phone consumer is definitely buying it as their primary phone. We believe that it's also the perfect secondary phone that complements your smartphone. And, you know, as Patrick can talk about some of his experiences in Barcelona, there was people coming to the stand and just trying to find a way how they were going to integrate this device into their lives. And this is where this whole term, the digital detox, came about. And, you know, so I think some consumers are wanting a break from being always connected. Whether they go out for a dinner with their wife or their family, they want to be connected, but they don't want to be tempted by every single ping out there.
Yeah, I've heard that more and more, actually, from people who don't want, they're either switching off notifications on their phone because the distraction is driving them crazy, or they are switching to a feature phone on weekends so that they're not bothered by their emails.
That's truly, I mean, we talk about going away for a weekend, going to the bush. You know, I personally going on a golf tour. So that's 4 days I'm on golf tour. I'm not really want to answer emails or every WhatsApp or everybody wants to get hold of me. So essentially I can put a secondary SIM in, charge it once. I don't have to take a charger with me. It's 30 days battery life. It goes in my pocket, and I know my wife can get hold of me if she needs me.
Yeah.
People are putting it in the cubby hole, you know, as a spare phone for when they really need a phone when they're driving home and the smartphone battery is dead.
And it's got a great torch.
I travel a lot, so you know, when I don't want my data on overseas and I need to make long calls, I can put a SIM card in and I can make a 22-hour call with the one charge of the battery.
Yes.
So it's amazing to see how you can incorporate this device into your life.
I must say, I actually bought a Nokia 105 some time ago. I'm a keen trail runner, and I don't like carrying a big bulky smartphone around with me. And also for security reasons, you know, if you get mugged, you don't want to lose your high-end device. So I very often carry the Nokia 105 with me. And I left it in a drawer in my desk, actually, and completely forgot about it. And about 3 weeks later, I thought, what is that beeping sound? And it was starting to complain that it was running low on battery. It was sitting on in my drawer for 3 weeks.
great story. And as Patrick said, 31 days standby time on the 3310.
That's pretty amazing. So, guys, what's your high score in Snake?
Every time I start playing, someone takes it away from me. Oh, let me have a look at that.
It's quite addictive. I played a lot on my Nokia 105, I must say.
I think we all did.
Yes, I still do. Okay, so hugely successful, the 3310. Are we likely to see more iconic Nokia feature phones of the past relaunched as rebooted, as you put it, Patrick?
I think that's what our fans would have to tell us if they would like to see something like that. And, you know, we listen to the fans on the 3310, so we'd love to hear from consumers and all over the world and here in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, what devices they would love to see.
Yeah.
But stay tuned.
Okay, but nothing announced at this stage. So let's talk about your smartphones. Now, the words Nokia and Android together are something I thought I'd actually never hear. Back in the day when I was a Nokia user, I wanted an Android phone, and then they went Windows, and I kind of lost touch with the brand. So perhaps there's an argument to be made that Nokia should have gone Android a lot earlier than they did. But be that as it may, there are now Nokia-branded Android smartphones in the market, and you've launched three devices so far. It's the Nokia 3, the Nokia 5, and the Nokia 6. These are all, the Nokia 3 starts at how much?
2199.
And the 6 goes up to?
The 6 is 3699.
Okay, so these are all decidedly mid-range price points.
Yes.
I played with the Nokia 6. It's a reasonably high-end smartphone. Maybe Patrick, you can take us through the basic specs of these three models.
So also what's great, and just going back to sort of, you know, the Nokia heritage, Nokia was always about democratizing technology. it was, you know, it was a brand that always catered. It didn't just cater to one specific price point or one specific demographic. Mm. And the devices that we've launched here, the first three devices that we've launched here, what's great is that we're speaking about design and craftsmanship on a mid-range device. We, you know, we honestly feel that it shouldn't matter what price you paid for your device. It should still be a strong, sturdy, and good-looking device. You must be proud to carry your Nokia device. Doesn't matter what you paid for it. Mm. And that's sort of one of the key ethos behind the devices. And if we look at it's, you know, technology for every day. So it's about a decent screen, the right processor, and, you know, good battery. And then and all the devices. So, for example, Nokia 3, we've got an 8-megapixel camera at the back and the front. You've got a quad-core processor. You've got a 5-inch HD display. You've got a full aluminium sort of chassis, which makes it nice and sturdy.
Are they all Qualcomm processors?
No, the Nokia 3 is an MTK processor.
Okay.
The Nokia 5 and Nokia 6 both have the Qualcomm Snapdragon 430 processor, so an octa-core processor. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that gives us kind of a balance between processing and battery performance.
Right. Right.
Okay, because those are things that you've got to weigh up when you sort of putting devices out into the market.
Yes.
Then also on the Nokia 5, also got a you got a 5.2-inch HD screen, laminated, polarized, so really nice and bright in any kind of condition, sunlight, low light, it's good for that. You've got memory configuration is 2 gig of RAM and 16 gig onboard for both Nokia 3 and for Nokia 5. So it's also about making sure your device is future-proof. It's not just going to stop working after you've installed a whole lot of applications on it. Camera's also worthy talking about on Nokia 5. It's got a 8-megapixel front-facing camera, 13-megapixel rear-facing camera. So, yeah, for mid-range devices, you know, at the price points Justin was talking about, we feel solid specifications. And, you know, the design and craftsmanship of the 2.5U, the curved Gorilla Glass, it really makes it nice to feel and hold. And then, yeah, we go slightly up in the price band with Nokia 6, and this is a 5.5-inch full HD display. Also, polar, it's really great how we've actually sort of like laminated the screen directly to the Gorilla Glass, mm-hmm. which makes content really sort of like leap out at you. It's awesome. Full metal body with sort of a, you know, bevels on the side, which give it a nice premium look and feel. And that comes with 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gig onboard memory, 16 megapixel camera at the back, and 8-megapixel camera in the front.
So that kind of straddles the mid-range to high.
Yeah, and, okay. And it really is about, you know, what are people asking? They want a good screen, they want a processor that's going to work, they need enough battery life, and they want a phone that looks nice.
Yeah.
And I think those are, you know, the design decisions when we make decisions. Those are how we look at it. And then, of course, running pure, secure, always up-to-date Android. And that is probably one of the biggest sort of differentiators on these devices.
Let's talk about that then. They're shipping with the latest version of Android, which is Android 7.1.1, is it?
Correct.
Nougat, I think it's called.
Yes.
Or Nougat if you're American. Yeah. And you've made a promise that the software will be kept up to date for how long?
2 years.
2 years from purchase.
Two years from launch of device.
Launch of device,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how often will those updates be released? I know there are monthly security updates for Android. Will there be a monthly security update?
There will be monthly security updates that come through. And as I said, because there's no third-party applications, there's no additional software.
Whatsoever.
Essentially, as those security patches get launched, they get pushed through to the device.
Okay.
So, which is good news for consumers. And then as well as also the security updates, there will be platform updates as well for the devices. So when we get the new versions of Android, you know, they've got in testing at the moment.
Android O.
Yeah, is in testing at the moment. So those will come 2, 3, 5, and 6.
How long after they launched?
Well, once again, the time period, there should be hardly any delay. We'll be one of the first manufacturers to actually, or OEMs, to make it available on the devices. As I said, because...
So we're talking weeks.
Yeah, because there is no, you know, there's no additional... sort of that we need to do on the software.
Right. So there's nothing that HMD Global has added to this device. It's We've pure got, Android.
There's certainly like just your camera user interface.
Okay.
You know, that is something that each OEM is responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the actual Android side or the operating system, it's essentially the Google services, that's what's loaded on the device when it come, when you switch it on.
So the icons, the design, it's all Google.
It's all exactly.
So basically, if you were to go and buy a Google Pixel device, which aren't for sale in South Africa, you're going to get the same experience.
You will get one or two icon differences. The Google icon is slightly different on the Pixel, and the camera user interface is slightly different. Otherwise, they come with Google Assistant. Slide left, you get your Google Assistant, and you slide up, you've got your Google services, and your Play Store is one of your key icons there. Click on the Play Store, and you choose the applications that you want on the device.
Okay. Google, I think, announced at their last developer conference back in June, I think it was, that there's going to be a new entry-level version of Android. I think it's, I stand to be corrected here, I think it's called Android Go or something like that, Android One, something like that. Your entry-level device, will that get the entry-level version of Android, or will they all be running full Android?
Nokia 3, 5, and 6 are all running a full version of Android.
Okay. So you distribute through operators here in South Africa. Are you available through all the networks?
Yes, all the networks have got the devices, yeah.
Okay. How does that process work? Because I know that the operators are involved in the process of approving updates that get distributed to end users for Android. I know Apple's different. How does that affect you? When you get the update, do you then have to get operator approval for it, or are you able to push it directly to end users?
It's a collaborative effort. The nice thing for us is the availability of the software and how quickly we can get it to the operators to do the testing.
Okay, so they still go through that testing process. Yeah. How long does that typically take, as a matter of interest?
As I say, collaborative effort. The operators are, you know, on board with it. They also see the benefit in this. So as long as we can, especially if the software has some sort of effect on what's happening on the network, the way the device connects to the network.
Mm.
If there's a case there, then obviously it's in our best interest to get it tested by the operators. But it really does come down to great collaborative effort and the time scale in which that software, or how early we can get that software to the operators for them to test and improve and roll out to the devices.
Okay, but your phones should be the first in the market to get the new Android when it's
correct, available. Because we'll get it, yeah.
And that's our commitment to Google as well, that the devices will get the monthly security updates immediately.
Right, right.
Which really does set us apart slightly. And
that's always been the trouble in the Android universe, is the actual handset manufacturers testing, and because they've got all this bloatware on top of the OS,
the skins.
It takes a very long time to get the updates into the market, if they ever arrive.
Yeah, we did some consumer research around, you know, before we launched the devices, what were some of the pain points that consumers had? And obviously that was one of them. And as well as, you know, I purchase an Android device and I turn it on and it's just full of apps that I don't know what they're for. I can't delete them. They chew my data. They chew my battery. They're just running in the background. They chew my storage. And
you can't delete them, yeah.
Exactly. And so exactly when you turn on a Nokia 3, 5 or 6, there's literally two almost icons on the screen. One is the Play Store and one is Google Services. And that's it. You put on whatever you want on your device. You delete, put on apps and delete apps.
Do the operators not insist on putting their own apps on these phones?
There are options around putting on applications for customization. However, those applications, if any application gets loaded on, it will always be able to be removed.
Oh, right. Okay. So, that's pretty
cool. Consumer decides.
Right. Yeah. It drives me crazy and using Android phones that I don't want this app delete. Oh, you can't delete it. It just allows me to uninstall the updates. So you've launched these phones in South Africa, and I know you've just recently had launches up in Kenya and Nigeria as well. How did those launches go, Justin?
That's right, yeah. We I think it was 2 weeks ago, we did a bit of a road trip, Patrick and myself and Michelle. We were in Nigeria, launching in Lagos, and then went down to Kenya in Nairobi, and it was just an unbelievable response. Went really well, a lot of demand. For the product, and in fact we've seen some demand so great that Grey product is moving into certain countries where it's not available yet and selling at probably three times the price that it should be selling. So amazing just to see, you know, what people are trying to do to get their hands on the devices.
I think the general comment comes down, even when you hold a device like the Nokia 6, people immediately start comparing it to a flagship device just because of its look and feel, and you kind of got to you know, rein people in, say, actually, this is a mid-range device. Yes, thank you very much for comparing it, but you know, it is a mid-range device. And I think people are appreciating that while they can look at an affordable smartphone, we're sort of raising the game in that whole affordable smartphone segment at the moment. They look at this going, like, wow, this is quality, which always goes back to that, you know, the Nokia legacy and Nokia brand. Mm.
And of course, there are plenty of rumors on the internet about upcoming devices. I know you guys can't talk about what's down the line, but there's plenty of rumor of a new flagship device on its way. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested in a high-end Nokia device. But Justin Mayer, Vice President for Sub-Saharan Africa at HMD Global, and Patrick Henshey, Head of Global in the same region for the same company. Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Central podcast. It's been a great discussion.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.